B-Pod Studios.
You know the hot take.
This stupid all-star
game. He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tires Studios, 617-779-0985. And Rich is back.
Hey.
Hi.
Good morning.
After a trip out west, I follow Rich's wife, Mary, on Facebook. I saw you went to Joshua. Now, if you go to Joshua Tree, which is funny because I was just listening to this Ron Burgundy thing where he said he went to Joshua Tree, but was mixed up. But so if you go to Joshua Tree, that's in the middle. Now, is there stuff like around there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Palm Springs is only like 30 minutes away from it. So, I mean, okay. You're right near like a whole bunch of stuff. It's not like going to like Arches where you're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's a little tiny town called Moab that's there where a bunch of like, you know,
artists,
dirt bikers and weirdos and stuff like hang out. But it's not like, you know, Palm Springs is a fairly big city. But
right.
The one thing that Joshua Tree is kind of known for, which I'm looking at in a completely different light now, is rock climbing. And that is known as one of the havens of rock climbing. And ever since I've seen the movie Free Solo, every person I see on the side of the mountain, I look and see if there's a rope attached to them. And if they have one, I think they're a puss. I was like, whoa, that's amazing. Look at how high up they are. They must be freaking out. I'm like, ah, it's a rope.
Yeah.
Wimp.
The chances of him dying are like only like 25% if he falls.
Right. It takes like the fun out of it. You know, it's like, you know, why should I be scared? You know, why should I actually think this guy's doing anything? He's basically just getting pulled up. You know, he can just swing on it all he wants. It's like being in like a grown man's jungle gym.
Yeah.
After you see Free Solo, it completely changes everything about what indeed should be living on the edge. But yeah, so that's like, you know, about 30 minutes outside of the city, and it's everywhere too. And I don't know if the movie did that or if it was always this big, but I mean, I might have seen two dozen people on the one day I was out at Joshua Tree climbing the side of like mountains and like and rock formations and things like that.
All right, so if you go to Joshua Tree, now I know, okay, so Palm Springs is a half an hour away, but is Joshua Tree, is there like a town?
There is a town called Joshua Tree that's right on the outside of it, but it's basically built on like the camping. Like you can, it's basically got a bunch of camping rental places. Although real close to it is a place where Josh Homme, the guy who's from Queens of the Stone Age and Caius, like grew up. And for something weird happened out there because there's a pretty decent, like weird music community.
Right.
There's this one bar that is in the middle of nowhere. It's called Pioneer Town. It's about 20 minutes in the other direction. And there's this, it's this like roadhouse saloon that's called Pappy and Harriet's. And it's owned by just like this old grizzled, imagine Sam Elliott, but like 90. That's what the guy who runs the place looks like. And it's been around forever, but something's happened there over the last like 20 years because bands will, and when I say it's the middle of nowhere, it's the middle of nowhere. As a matter of fact, Hollywood, like back in the 60s when they filmed a lot of Westerns out in the desert, they used to go out to this area and film a lot of the shootouts and stuff. And there was only this one tiny hotel that they would all stay at that was over near this Pioneer Town. So all that's there is this roadhouse and this one small hotel. And in the last like 20 years, like all of these like bands, huge bands out of nowhere will come and play this tiny place called Pappy and Harriet's, which might hold 100 people, and it's a restaurant. It's like a roadhouse restaurant and bar. It was on that Anthony Bourdain episode, Fred.
Yeah, is that where they had like that steak?
It's where they had the Corvette Summer, that drink where him and Homme are getting drunk.
Right.
But like Paul McCartney went there in the middle of nowhere and played a show at Pappy and Harriet's unannounced. It's become kind of this like cool place to go, and like all the waitresses there like have like sleeves of tattoos, and it's kind of like a weird, it's like punk rock in the middle of like a roadhouse in the middle of the desert. It's kind of a strange dichotomy, but yeah, it is it was definitely an interesting place to travel to, and you really got to kind of want to go there too.
Right, because that's the thing is that I'm asking is that it seems nightmarish.
No. It's not as desolate as like Marfa and some of the other places I've gone. Because I mean, Palm Springs is only like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes from L.A.
Right.
And then this place is only 30 minutes from Palm Springs. So there's a ton of stuff around there. Yeah, and the drive's really pretty, too.
Yeah, but 30 minutes. See, there's no pretty drive for me. I don't care for that.
Yeah.
But half an hour from somewhere is still kind of far.
Yeah, but it's the desert you're driving through. And I love the desert. And they've got those weird-ass windmill farms and stuff, which are pretty freaky to see. On a big, it's like a big, open, like, desert. And then in the middle of it, there will be, like, several hundred of those giant, tall, white windmills. And it's very strange-looking. And I just, that area of the country fascinates me. And sometimes it's weird to just turn off the phone and get in the middle of nowhere and get weird. So that's kind of what that area is. It was
and
nice.
And your kids are behaving during all of this?
No, they're going nuts. And they're falling and smashing their knees and nearly breaking their bones, which Hank, like, sliced the hell out of his leg climbing up the rocks. Like, everyone climbs the rocks there. You go nuts. And at one point, I just said, I'm not going to tell them to stop anymore. If they get hurt, they get hurt. And Hank got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up being all right. But, I mean, he was walking around with, like, a big-ass bloody leg for a while. He just scraped it up real bad. And it wasn't even when he was climbing. It was like, you know, he was doing all this real dangerous stuff. And then he's just walking and trips and slices it up. It's always the least thing you expect.
Yeah, the desert to me is it would be a nightmare. It just too much open space.
I love that.
You can go and you look at it for about a half an hour. And you're like, okay, I'm good. You know, like find me a hotel, find me a bar, find me something.
Right. Like when right before I went to bed last night, the Hangover was on, and it was when they were driving out to Vegas.
I love that.
See, that's
good for a half an hour. You're like Vegas. It's like the beginning of Swingers. Yeah. And then after 2 hours of it, everyone's in the car, very quiet.
I'm weird that way. Like, I mean, there was the one time where we had 5 days. I think it was a Wednesday, and my friend had flown. This is when I lived. I mean, like way down in, like I lived in Georgia at the time, and my friend had gone to Vegas, and I was with my wife. We were just going to take a road trip to New Orleans. And I said, what if we drove all the way to Las Vegas across the country? Could we do it? We timed it out. We said, if we spent the night only like 5 hours in Oklahoma, we would make it to Vegas, stay for one day and be able to drive back. And we did it. I love driving in the car, and I love the desert. So it's, for me, it's perfectly fine. And it does take two different, different types of people. I know a lot of people who would just completely, if you had to be in the car that long and you had to see a bunch of nothing for that long, you would hate it. I actually love that stuff.
Now, what about it do you like, that being in the car for that long? Because
it's not even so much the car, it's the drive itself. It's the view and the things around you. I love the mountains.
Well, you're just saying there's nothing out there.
No, I mean, there's nothing out there as far as stores and shops, but there are national parks, there are mountain ranges, there's the windmill farms and things like that.
No, but if you drive to Vegas from Georgia, I mean, you're going through some...
That was just the adventure of saying we did it. Like, I mean, dude, we were dumb. We were like 22 or something like that.
No, but you've taken vacations like through the nowheresville of like New Mexico and Arizona.
Yeah,
you're telling
last
us
year.
About weird, weird stuff you ran across.
Yeah, I mean, that. I like being in the middle of nowhere. I like pressing my radio dial and having it scroll all the way around, and the only thing you pick up is like a Navajo Indian radio station that just has chants on it. And that does happen.
So if you run out of gas, you're basically screwed.
There's never going to be an area where you're not going to, like, there's never going to be 300 miles where you're not going to get to a gas station. I mean, you might get to a stretch of 100 miles, but you know at that point that you need to gas up. I mean,
my tank, I couldn't go 300 miles on one tank of gas.
I think that's how much I think that's how far I go. I think I have 300 miles. Most cars have like 300 miles on a tank of gas.
Mine is like 280 or something like that. I guess close enough. All right, Rich, what happened last evening?
Oh, NFL free agency. It's the gift that keeps on giving, baby.
All right, so we will have all that for you in just a moment.
Listen, watch, and react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, while other teams are flaunting their Odell Beckhams and Antonio Brown deals, Bill Belichick is showing off his mucho macho summer bod in Barbados, and I imagine slowly picking up his flip phone during the chaos and whispering to Ernie Adams, "Get me Brandon Bolden."
Well, you know that Ernie Adams was down there with him, but he was just, like, he was holed up with all the blinds closed.
I was just going to say, if he's outside, he's got the umbrella.
He's outside, he's got an umbrella and his sun hat and, like, a kerchief over his mouth.
Yeah, you know he's got the white nose cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's calculating the angle of the sun and how much you'll actually be getting. And
this isn't even a Belichick thing, but if you're Belichick and you're on vacation, do you assume you're going to have photos taken of you, like if you're in Barbados?
No, you don't.
See, I would be pissed off.
Why? I mean, what's he got? I mean, the dude's got a rock and pod. You saw him slowly walking on the beach. He's kind of got the muscular moves.
Oh, no, he doesn't. No, that's...
Because I haven't seen a video of them moving, but the way he's standing, it kind of looks like the kind that if he jumped, they wouldn't shake too much.
No, because I asked Ted Johnson, I said, you know, because we were discussing the photos, whether it was ooh la la. But, like, you know, they always say he's on the elliptical. And he said he's one of the guys that, like, read on the elliptical.
Right. He's watching film. He's watching film on the elliptical the entire time.
But Ted's point was you have to question a guy whether or not he's really getting a workout and if he's doing any reading while doing
it. Yeah, if you can read.
Yeah, there's not much impact.
While you're working out, there's not a whole lot going on.
I mean, that is an excellent point. Wasn't there, what was that NFL thing that they did? It was just all about Bill Belichick, a coach's life, wasn't it? They showed him watching film on the elliptical. But reading it, yes, I'm sure that probably means that you're not really, because I would think your head would be moving a little too much to be able to keep track of the page.
Yeah.
But you know what? Either way, Brandon Bolden, I'm sure he's going to end up being Super Bowl MVP. 2-year deal for that guy. On top of that, the Patriots decided to keep several of their favorites around, such as Jason McCourty, which after the end of last season kind of seemed like a no-brainer. He'll get a 2-year deal as well. Also, outside linebacker John Simon has signed an extension. And just when you start falling into that fool's game, but who is Brady going to throw to this year? Fear not, because Philip Dorsett is heading back to the Patriots on a 1-year deal. So
Don't laugh. He's your starter at the moment.
Listen, I was about to say. So right now, if you're number 12 and you're surveying the field for someone to hum it to, your choices are Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, Braxton Berrios, and Damon Patterson, and they'll still make it to at least the AFC Championship.
None of this matters. But one thing that does piss me off is that if you look at the when they list the winners and losers of free agency, and again, it's not like the Browns got Odell Beckham, so you know everyone's freaking out like that. I mean, Odell Beckham's not going to win him a Super Bowl. I mean, we went over that with Burrett, which was amazing. Like the best wide receivers on these teams.
There are some caveats. I mean, Julio Jones should have won.
Okay, fine. And then that's, but still, say Julio Jones did win.
Yeah. It still would be one out of many. Yes.
All right. So, but everyone's like, who won free agency? And they're like, the Patriots. Sometimes doing nothing is the best thing. Like, oh, shut up.
No, you can listen, like, you can agree that they're still gonna make it to the AFC Championship, but you can't say that they won free agency.
Yeah, they let let the left tackle go, which is probably a good idea because he's never gonna try again. And then they didn't want to pay Trey Flowers.
Yeah, take pride in it. Take pride that every year the Patriots underwhelm and then they end up winning. That's you know what? You should be proud of that fact.
It's only happened a couple of times where the Patriots have really struck big early. One was a colossal bust in Adelius Thomas.
And then Gilmore.
And then Stephon Gilmore, which I think we can all agree was a home run.
The Brandon Cooks thing was pretty good a couple years
ago. But that
was
a trade.
It was a trade. Yeah, not free agency. It was, a trade. But the offseason, you're right. You're talking about free agency?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But Gilmore would be definitely one that you could look at and go, well, that worked.
Yeah. It's in all of them. It's in, because I was like, all right, well, F you, ESPN. They won the stupid offseason. And then I went and looked at SI, and they had the Patriots winning the offseason just by doing nothing.
Patriots are, I mean, they're right up against the cap. They don't have a kicker at the moment. they are right up against the cap.
You don't need a kicker, man.
I'm just saying. You'll go for two. Still
put Coach in. Can you put him on the roster?
Did you see the photo of him, like, diving off the...
It was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Off the raft there in the middle of the thing?
Yes, I did.
He's like, don't mind if I take a plunge.
Well, the team reportedly made a hard push for wide receiver Adam Humphries, because, of course, they did. But the Titans...
he had Patriot written all over him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A 5'11" white slot receiver? They had Patriot written all over him.
Lunch pail guy. But the Titans snagged him up because they, because that's what the Belichick coaching tree is doing. Basically, any guy that's on the Patriots radar used to play for the Patriots. Somebody who used to be a member of the Patriots organization who's now a coach ended up just getting them and scooping them up. Well, all jokes aside, there is one big name floating out there still at receiver, and that is Golden Tate.
I don't know how they fit him in.
That keeps things interesting. I would have thought.
How do you fit him in?
I don't know. I mean, you're right about the cap, but
they
have
$12 million. According to what I've read, they have about $12 million under the cap. That's not factoring in yesterday's flurry of activity. In theory, you would think they would still want to re-sign Steven Gostkowski. That's one of those deals like, all right, go see what you can get and we'll match it, whatever. And if you bring Gostkowski back, would Myers get $4 million from Seattle yesterday? The Jets kicker was a Pro Bowler last year.
Yeah.
You got to figure Gostkowski gets that much.
Well, they were in on Humphries. So there's some money that's still sitting out there that they're going to use for a wide receiver.
I think if they got Humphries, then the flurry of activity you saw yesterday wouldn't have
been. So they wouldn't have signed Patterson?
Yeah, or? oddly enough, probably not. They probably wouldn't have got. So I don't know.
Golden Tate
wants $5 to $10 million a season. I don't know how the Patriots do
He's
that.
Not going to get that. And I've heard that number's like way out of the range of what he's going
to
end
say
up
he
getting.
Wants five. I still think the Patriots are scrambling to get that much for him.
All right, here's the paragraph from Sports Illustrated. All right, they got the people that won free agency: Browns, Green Bay Packers, Buffalo Bills, and this is the Patriots. Sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make. As it was their want, the Patriots opted against paying big money for both Trey Flowers and Trent Brown. Fine, that's great. More compensatory picks are coming Bill Belichick's way, but Belichick isn't without pass rush help. He traded for Michael Bennett, who had one of the best get to the quarterback seasons of any defender last season. He also tendered quarterback Jonathan Jones and signed Jason McCourty to a 2-year deal. Having an elite quarterback with a team friendly deal really helps out, huh? How is that winning anything? They basically stood pat. That's great.
I just like with Michael Bennett, like as soon as they signed him, he just said, I'm staying in the locker room, by the way, during the national anthem. It's like, oh, all right. The Patriots are immediately like, you know, maybe the controversy thing we might want to stay away from just for maybe at least another week.
Well,
just kind of let everything that's going on with the team. Gonna...
If he stays in the locker room, people get pissed. All just Robert Kraft does is just to come out and go, hey, what about me?
That's right. Why don't you project that controversy my way?
Hey, protecting the fellas.
But the true reason this team is going to win it all again next year is that the Patriots agreed to pick up the option of special teams ace and locker room rah-rah powerhouse, Mr. Matthew Slater.
Ah, how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
I don't know.
One more year of breakdowns. Good for you.
He's gonna make the Patriots Hall of Fame.
He is.
Oh, the Patriots Hall?
Oh, sure he is.
Fred, there's no question he's going to make the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I'm sizing him up for a red jacket as we speak.
But Matt Chatham said that he should make the Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
What did we say? Don Beebe somewhere? No, Don Beebe.
Tasker is the guy you're thinking of. Tasker. Yeah, Tasker isn't in. I don't think Slater's in.
But I just think that's so funny. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for not being good enough to be a receiver. I mean, he was a receiver in college. He was a good receiver in college.
But as I keep telling you, he was drafted in the fifth round to be a special teams player.
Right.
I can't think of another team that's ever done that. And we're going to take you in the fifth round, and we want you to be a special teams player.
Yeah, and
that's amazing.
He's excellent at what he does.
The dude calls heads and tails better than anybody else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure. He is a team leader. He's going to get in as a gunner.
He won the AFC Championship. He called tails, right?
Yes, he did. I was seeing where you were going with that. I didn't know if I had forgotten something.
Nope. He called the right heads or tails, and he always calls the same one. But it takes a lot of willpower to always call the same thing on a flip, because you could be tempted to go one way or the other. But damn it, Matthew Slater's got that guts. He's got the gusto, that thing.
Well, he's got a good memory.
He does. Well, what about the Gronk news? We were all promised by the man himself. You know, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, he was going to announce whether he was going to stay or retire and make movies with random Wahlbergs. Well, Willie McGinnis on the NFL Network had a pretty interesting theory on how this Gronk situation may pan out. Fred, you have it right there in the old Vox Pro. This is Willie McGinnis on the NFL Network with kind of an interesting angle on what he thinks Gronk's going to do this season.
Any insight whatsoever? Drew Rosenhaus said yesterday that he truly has not made up his mind.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape, and he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back and
like
play
a
football.
Jason Witten kind of thing, like take a
not
full year off.
Not a full year.
So is this like a veteran where I don't want to go to training camp?
I don't think He doesn't mind work at all. I just think at this point he's not going to make a quick decision. I don't think he's going to make a decision in training camp or in the summertime. I think he's going to let his body heal up. I think mentally, he's not football right now. Like, I'm not ready to put on the pads and go out and get ready for football.
Jim Brown infamously went to London and did Dirty Dozen. He wanted to be an actor. Are we going to have to pull Gronk off a movie set in October when the Patriots offense is only scoring 14 a game?
I think that stuff will come after he's completely done with football. But he does have a lot of opportunities. But I think he still loves football. But I just think right now, he's after winning a Super Bowl, after all the hard work and everything he's went through, I don't think he starts the season playing football at all.
And you think they would be cool with that?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't. I want a guy for a full year, but it's his decision how he plays it out.
It's cool with me.
That's cool with me. That's an interesting angle. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see him saying I'm retiring, because you would have to say I'm retiring, right? And then come back halfway through, because they couldn't just have him on the roster.
Yeah, he would have to retire.
Right. He would have to say he's retired, or they'd have to come up with some mystery illness or injury that kept him from playing until like week 9.
I don't care how much he likes to work. I see him skipping a lot of training camp.
Well, that's fine.
But he skipped last year. He just skipped the actual training camp.
No, McGinnis is saying skipping the first half of the season.
I understand that, but I say at bare minimum, he takes a lot of camp off. He disappears for a while.
Well, he doesn't
mind hard
work.
The Patriots are cool with that, like you were saying. It's cool with him.
That's cool with him. Yep. All right, Rich, what will we have after the headlines?
All right, the rest of the NFL have lost their minds. Also, some updates on some Bruins injuries for tonight's game against Winnipeg.
Like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We can build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transport.
Unfamiliar with the concept of time, that is Rob Gronkowski attempting to answer questions about a time machine, which he confuses with a airplane.
You think every time he ends up getting on a train, he walks out of it and goes, whoa, dude, I just traveled back to prehistoric time.
I'm going to guess not a lot of train rides.
No, probably not.
Especially when you have the Mooch or whatever that gives him rides.
Goon.
Goon, all right. The Mooch was the bully on Different Strokes, which, by the way, is on TV again.
The Mooch? That was his name?
Yeah, or the Gooch.
The Gooch,
It was the Gooch.
Okay.
Yeah. The Gooch was... You never saw the Gooch.
The Mooch was the guy who borrowed money from the Gooch.
What famous dirty comic was a member of the Different Strokes crew?
Famous dirty comic? Andrew Dice Clay?
Andrew Dice Clay.
No kidding. Nice. How old was he at the time?
Probably old. He was playing like a high schooler.
How old do you think he was when Dice Rules came out? Like when he was at the top of his game?
Like late 20s? See, that's what I would think. 30s?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That was a long time ago. I don't know.
All right. Well, one guy, you know, we're talking about Rob Gronkowski and all the speculation as to what he's going to be doing. And one gentleman who might be able to give us some sort of an insight into what's going on in Gronk's head is his board-smashing agent, Drew Rosenhaus. He did an appearance with Peter King.
Does that still work? Yeah, everything's great.
Everything's great, man. And he was asked about Gronk's mindset going into the season. Fred, you have it right there. This is a sit-down he did with Peter King, and they said Gronk's still figuring stuff out, but he gave a little bit of a clue as to where his head might be.
All right. I have Brown, Mraz...
Oh, Rose. You know, I got it right here.
Okay, here
we go. Yeah. Well, man, I don't have a gut feeling because I spoke to Rob just a couple of days ago, and he really is undecided. I mean, he's trying to take the time to think it through. He's taken a beating in his career, man. I mean,
he's been through a lot of injuries.
He is a remarkable player and just a fantastic person. He's got a lot of things that he can do outside of football. You know, he loves football. He loves playing with Brady and Belichick and his teammates. He loves to win championships. But at the same time, the amount of pain and punishment that he's had to endure for somebody that can do something outside of football and be a huge success, whether it's broadcasting or acting or endorsements, Rob has so many opportunities. It's a tough decision to make. You know, I'm sure he would love to play football. But at the same time, he's got to consider where he is from a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
I can't really tell you what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. He ended up saying economics have nothing or will have nothing to do with it. So we'll see whether or not that's the truth, because we still don't know whether he is going to be asked to take a pay cut by the Patriots. I to be honest, when William McGinnis said that there's some sort of thought that maybe it's just his thought, or I didn't know if he was just saying that that's what he has heard or he was speculating, but the whole idea of Rob Gronkowski just not playing for the first half of the season and then starting in the second half, I don't think anyone would have any problem with that. It just seems odd, and I don't think that that's something that the Patriots would, I don't know, welcome that plan. You know, I think they'd rather have him on the roster but fake an injury or some sort of reason for him to not play.
If you come in the middle of the season and you haven't been doing any football activities, good luck. I mean, how long does it take you to get back into the swing of things? I mean, that's going to take a long time.
Maybe so, but I still think the Patriots would like their chances of having a healthy Gronk at the end of the season. If you take away 8 to 9 weeks of beating, you have a better chance of that happening.
Do you think that he would just be able to step in?
No, obviously not. There'd have to be something else, and I'm with Rich on this too. They'd have to think of something, you know, make up something to keep him in Foxborough. Oh, he's still working out. He's not ready. He's hurt.
He's rehabbing.
It's his back. Whatever the case may be.
Who's going to doubt that?
I mean, you can't have him go to wherever he goes you know, go to Florida, use that time machine and go to Florida for three or four months. He'd have to be here, but keep him off the field until November.
That'd be counterproductive to anything he wanted to do. If he's got to sit in, north of Rhode Island, that doesn't do him any good.
Or say, all right, Rob, we just need you here 3 days a week. Or 2 days a week.
Why would he do that?
I don't know.
Well, because
I don't know if he would.
Because he wants to play and he wants
the
paycheck.
We don't know if he wants to play.
Well, I'm saying if he comes back, he wants to play and he wants the paycheck. He's basically telling the Patriots that.
He's got that itch you can't scratch. You know, and you see it a lot with players. Players come back and play when you know they shouldn't. Coaches come back and coach. Like Jason Witten. Or even coach. I mean, Bill Parcells really didn't want to work for Jerry Jones. He just had an itch he couldn't scratch, so he went and coached the Dallas Cowboys. The athletes and coaches alike hang around the game because they love it, against all odds and against all logic.
Well, okay.
So maybe this is Rob Gronkowski.
Well,
I don't know.
If Rob Gronkowski had to be in Foxborough 3 days a week, it takes away everything. Then it's another year of him not doing anything off the field. Because if he does want to be in a movie and he does want to do these things, he can't be hanging out in Foxborough.
Yeah, well, I think that he would wait, and I think he'd be fine with waiting.
Why?
Because he's playing football another year. But also, I think that Rob Gronkowski knows in his head that he can be great for a short period of time. So he's willing to sit out, and he's willing to get paid, and he's willing to do that for that end of the season greatness that he thinks he can bottle up. And he's kind of shown us he could do that. At least in this past season.
If he's not involved in any football activities.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying he wouldn't play until, I mean, he would be limited. Like, you'd essentially be limited and be held out for, I guess, the first half of the season. And it's not tough to think of an injury for Rob because he's probably hurting all over the place.
Yeah, Drew Rosenhaus said as much. I mean, it's just he's not in good shape physically at the moment. I mean, we've talked about this.
All right,
Fred.
So he would have to beat up.
He
would have to, okay, so what he would have to do is he would have to work out as if he was going to play football for months. And so he would essentially have to do all that. I mean, he can't just, like, sit around pretending to be hurt.
Rob, come back in mid-October, you know, rehab for 4 or 5 weeks. We'll get you on the field in a limited package in November with the hopes that you'll be full speed by Christmas.
And you think that's going to happen?
We're just spitballing here. Honestly, I think it should be all or nothing, too. But evidently, I think Willie McGinnis is onto something here.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think he knows?
I think that, yes. I think he has connections within the organization.
Okay.
I think the retirement thing's a little far-fetched. I don't know if the Patriots would do that. I think, however, you know, having him on the pup list or something at the beginning of the season or some sort of way that they can keep him off the field or just like maybe even just like away from the organization for like the first half of the season and then start working his way back in. Yes, Fred, I do see that could be a reality.
Any way to get him healthy and completely full speed and as good as he can possibly be for the games that matter.
He's never going to be completely full speed.
No. But for 4 or 5 games.
As he is at this age, I guess.
All right, how much are you going to pay him for 4 or 5 games?
It shouldn't be $10 million. They're going to have to ask him to take a pay cut, I think.
And so is it worth me working out for that length of time to come back and play 5 games?
Well, you're right.
So maybe,
we'll still pay the money we owe you, and we'll offer this. That's how valuable we think you are to the offense. That's how much we need you on the field.
That seems like something the Patriots would do.
Maybe
they would pay $10 million to a guy to play 4 games.
Depends on how I mean, there are always exceptions to the rule. And you've seen this. The Patriots will make exceptions to this hard and fast policy for players that they really think are core players.
Not anything that is remotely what Willie McGinnis is suggesting. You can think of something where they paid someone a lot of money to sit?
No, I can't.
I mean, it does.
I'm looking at the roster, and I'm looking at the weapons that Tom Brady has to throw to, and I'm thinking, okay, there's obviously a giant hole there. Obviously, he's made chicken salad out of chicken feathers, whatever phrase you want to stick in here. But
chicken salad out of chicken feathers,
whatever the phrase is, I never get it right.
Because it's too close to home, you bird.
I think maybe Rob Gronkowski might be that exception.
All right. Well, you're all caught up in everything. You're going crazy here with your because Willie McGinnis.
My chicken feather take. That's true.
Well, once you went chicken feathers,
shocked the room with that.
Yeah, once you went chicken feathers, you lost all credibility. Please. Well, listen. If they're going to pay him $10 million to sit out 8 games, or 8 games to sit out 10 games, God bless him. Because we were talking about them not paying him anyway. like asking him to take a pay cut anyway.
And maybe this is all being discussed right now. And maybe that's all part of the deal. And maybe he will take a pay cut, a little bit of a pay cut, as long as there's a wink and a nod that he's not coming back, and as you said, until week 10.
Yeah, show up late to camp and be ready for mid-October.
Maybe Willie McGinnis has been told by the NFL Network to come up with ideas on what players are doing so it will spark conversation.
Oh, even before that, I don't agree with him on the retiring thing, but if you would have asked me how do I think the Patriots are going to handle Rob Gronkowski, I would have said they're going to find any kind of way possible to make him not play at the beginning of the season. And I knew, obviously, not any kind of training camp. I think we all knew that was the case. But I that would have been my opinion. Now, as far as it being, 10 weeks in, that seems like a lot. But it wouldn't shock me.
I don't think that what Willie McGinnis is saying is because he has connections in the organization. I think he's saying things to spark conversation. Because like everyone else that does it. I mean, he didn't even say that he has sources that said it. He just said it was him. And so if the NFL Network is playing, discussing football eight hours a day.
So if he plays, do you think that the Patriots are going to want him to play every game?
I don't think that they're going to pay him. We were talked all during the season about how he wasn't going to make this, that they weren't going to pay him the money.
But either way, do you think he's going to play for the Patriots this season?
No.
You see, I disagree. I think he is going to
play. I do too. I think at this point he is going to play. And you know what? The thing that really pushed me in that direction was the fact that he kept going back to the Patriots facility after the season was over.
Free weights. You don't have to join the Planet Fitness. Just, you let him in and then he doesn't have to pay those
He can save
fees.
The $9.99 or
That's
whatever.
That's right. There's no commitment. No, you don't have to put any commitment. All right.
He doesn't have the $1 down.
Well, that's right. He's making chicken salad out of feathers.
Chicken feathers. It's a difference.
Okay.
Because he has to be the right kind of salad.
Yeah.
Not right. Being chicken.
I mean, if you just eat making chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
Yes.
That is quite the turn of phrase. All right, Rich, what do we have?
All right, we'll get to some of that Bruins news. There's a lot of injuries right now with this team.
Absolutely.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bruins playing beautiful Winnipeg, wherever the hell that is, whatever part of Canada that is. Manitoba?
North of North Dakota.
No, I know where Winnipeg is. I just don't know what province.
Oh, okay. Manitoba.
Manitoba. Okay.
So all I remember is that when we had the kids in the hall, the guys from the Canadian comedy troupe.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are from Winnipeg, and they said that during the winter, it's illegal to cross the street. To walk across the street there.
Yeah, because one particular intersection that they have a tunnel under. And if you, because in the winter, if you walk, the winds are so high that they deemed it unsafe.
It's across the street above ground.
Billy Jaffe swears by Winnipeg, but I think it's because he went when he was like 20 and got laid or something.
Yeah, I think you're probably close. Yeah. That's pretty close to the truth.
Because he's like, it's great. I went there one time when I was playing hockey, and you're like, yeah, dude, you got laid, and that's what happened.
I have a feeling if you're a hockey player in Winnipeg, it's probably pretty easy to get laid.
But I was like, there's no way. Like, hot chicks stay in Winnipeg, and he's like, oh, yeah, they do. Come on. If I'm a good-looking Canadian girl, I'm going Vancouver or Toronto on the people.
Well, this is I'm taking a look at the injury report for tonight's game, and it doesn't look great. First of all, we all know Pastrnak's going to be out. How much longer on Pastrnak? This seems to be going on a little bit longer than I thought it was going to. Like, even before I left,
he's skating.
It seemed like it was right on the horizon.
He's skating, and he's holding a stick.
Yeah.
While skating.
Yeah, so he's. I think what he's doing now is just adjusting to having that thing on his hand.
All right, and then DeBrusque, unfortunately, still has his foot that he's dealing with.
Well, apparently they're being really, really ultra careful with him.
Good. They should be. They should be. I mean, he's obviously become one of their better weapons.
Like, I think if it was the playoffs, he'd be playing right now.
All right, so Torrey Krug, upper body injury. And then we've got Mr. Johansson has a bruised lung, Grizzlick a right arm injury, and, of course, Miller with his upper body. So DeBrusque and Grizzlick are the closest right now. I guess early next week is when those two guys are supposed to be coming back. But, I mean, that is just – that's some fairly important pieces, all of them injured.
Never fear. Paul Carey and Connor Clift have been called up from Providence.
All right. Let's go to Mark from Medford, always with the hockey. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Bacon eggs, guys.
What's up, Mark?
Okay, Torrey Krug, upper body injury. Really?
You don't think it's real?
No.
Why?
He got benched in the second period the other night. I think Cassidy's sitting him to have him look at the game from a different perspective, especially if he made the trip. If he made that trip, he's benched.
All right, there you go, Mark from Medford, speculating that the injury to Krug is performance-based and that he is going to sit on the ninth floor or whatever in Winnipeg. It's probably like the second floor in Winnipeg, and then he's going to...
There are no buildings above three floors in Winnipeg?
That's a law.
I think the hockey arena is the only place that actually can be that big. I think that 98% of the population goes to every Winnipeg Jets game.
Yeah. Winnipeg... out of the four major sports... is the only city that fascinates me that they have something. Well, I guess Edmonton, but they won so much. But, yeah. Like, Winnipeg is fascinating to me. And people don't mind playing there. Because they're
treated
Canadian.
Like a god.
Yeah, and then you're in Canada, and you want to be in Canada.
Is that like the Green Bay of hockey, you think?
Actually, it's not a bad comparison.
It's like the small town that embraces the home team.
No, but it's not a bad comparison.
All right, but Green Bay is essentially a Milwaukee team. I understand that there's distance, but it's essentially a Milwaukee team. Winnipeg exists upon itself.
That's true. Green Bay, for years, used to play at least one game in Milwaukee every year.
Right, and then you would say, you know, the vast majority of its fan base that's not scattered across the country is from Milwaukee.
True. That's true. Winnipeg is just standalone. Yeah.
That's where Ice Road Truckers start.
Yep.
On the show Ice Road Truckers, they started in Winnipeg.
Ice Road Truckers is the biggest tease of a show because in the commercial it shows them all smashing through ice and they never smash through the ice.
Yeah, it was. I watched like a season and then I'm like, I think I got everything I need.
They drive on ice.
Yeah,
hey.
These are very lonely people.
Oh, the gas might freeze. Woo.
Yeah, they go and they just have miserable lifestyles. Well, I just saw him, Joe Murray, one half of the Bankroll Boys. He did the show last Thursday. He had. Fresh off of a Celtics win that upset him very much.
That's hysterical.
I haven't seen him that pissed in a long time.
Oh, no, it was great.
Brad was telling me off the air, it's the one where Hayward hit the last second shot, right?
Yeah, but he was pissed. He thought it was a phantom foul on what's-his-face with the three-pointer, and he thought that the refs were in cahoots. And that
it was a foul on Hayward that shouldn't have been a foul. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but it was the game where he hit the shot. And then
if Joe says the fix is in, I say the fix is in.
And then I go, why do you keep betting on basketball? He's like, well, I'm trying to get on the other side of it. But then they went on and like had this tremendous day that day, I guess. And we'll find out all about that. Hopefully something pissed them off. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines. And then Joe Murray comes in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.